Good morning and welcome to Local Matters Health Matters, where we highlight the health stories, services, and strengths of the Upper Cumberland. I'm Dr. Emily Lee.
And I'm Dr. Jennifer Mabry, and we're faculty at the Whitson Hester School of Nursing at Tennessee Tech University.
Today, we're exploring holistic health and ancient healing with a modern approach. Our guest is Maria O'Connell, an Ayurvedic practitioner and the owner of the Waxing Heart in Cookeville. She brings a unique perspective on whole person wellness rooted in Ayurvedic medicine. Maria, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thanks to both of you for having me here.
Of course.
I'm really excited to kind of share Ayurveda with everyone. It's a real passion of mine, so I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, then let's get started with your background, Maria. What inspired you on your journey to Ayurveda?
Yeah, so it's a little bit of a story, so I'm going to try to give that
condensed version.
Stories.
No, listeners like stories.
Fantastic. So I actually started my career as a dental hygienist, and I grew up in Michigan, so that's where I was living. And when I had my first son, I was so
in Northerner.
Northerner, absolutely. So there's no beautiful accent.
Well,
I don't hear it.
Yeah, you don't hear your accent.
Yeah. But anyways, as I was seeing my son when he turned one, I was so inspired what I saw him learn through that first year of life that I thought, you know, where did that desire in me go? So I actually had always wanted to go into engineering. As in Michigan, everything's automotive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I embarked at night and I got my degree in mechanical engineering, thermal and fluid systems. So then I did start working for Ford Motor Company. But then in 2007, the bottom kind of fell out, and kind of out of the blue, I had this opportunity to move to Houston and work in oil and gas. And it was just a really amazing offer. So my kids and I, we picked up and we moved, not knowing anyone. And we started living there, and everything just worked out fantastic. It worked great. So I started off as an engineer, and I moved my way through to be a vice president. And during COVID, it just wasn't fun anymore. I'd always loved my job. Everything about it I loved. And just the whole COVID thing, I think it made a lot of people kind of, you know, question what they were doing and kind of reset. And But I was the breadwinner, so what did I do? But I had an opportunity to put my name on a reduction in force list, and I basically fired myself. So
did you really?
I did. I actually
that
did.
That is so bold.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
And then my husband wasn't working, so he was on a motorcycle trip, and he had pulled off the road. He was having a drink of water. His phone rang, and it was a job opportunity, kind of out of the blue, something he was really inspired to do, come out of retirement and do. So he comes home, he says, hey, I just took a job, or I'm going to interview for this job. And then if I get that, you can then figure out what you want to do. And I'm like, fantastic, because I just didn't feel inspired to go back into the corporate world.
Yeah.
And having been a dental hygienist and working directly with people, that was really where my love was. I wanted to work and help others, as you guys know with what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to my yoga studio. My yoga teacher is an Ayurvedic doctor. She was doing yoga teachers training. So I started that. And it just was all these serendipity kind of things where Ayurveda and Dr. Vasant Lad was kind of arriving in front of me. And I really do believe that the world kind of tells you kind of what your path should, could be. And you just have to be wise enough to listen sometimes.
Yeah, and slow down.
And slow down, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So I did. So we went and to New Mexico and interviewed at the institute, loved it. So I actually moved myself to Albuquerque, New Mexico, took the first year. The institute moved to Asheville, North Carolina. I moved there.
Two beautiful places.
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh.
Just fantastic. And, you know, I love to fly fish. So North Carolina was just amazing.
Oh my goodness.
To be it.
So, I mean,
yeah, it was amazing. So anyway, so my sister lives in Murfreesboro. My brother-in-law suggested Cookeville. We came here and we literally fell in love. So found a house, remodeled it, and the whole back half of the house is kind of where I work my business out of. So it wasn't that path that I ever would have seen. It's kind of like that beautiful river of life that you never see around the corner.
Yeah.
But it has been really wonderful, and I just love waking up every day, having beautiful clients come in, and being available to help them on their journey.
I like the life.
Mm-hmm.
Twisting and turning.
Yeah.
And the serendipity.
Yeah.
That is so true.
Because you never know.
Yeah. No, you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And but you listened when you became discontented.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe you fired yourself.
I did.
That's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Okay. I can't get over that little fact. Well, then tell us more about the Waxing Heart.
Right. So the name I really don't know where it came from, but I love the nature cycles and the moon cycles. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of mirrored around, the philosophy is mirrored around that. So everyone goes through a cycle, both, you know, daily, yearly, the whole life. It's all this evolution in this cycle. So if you look at the moon, it's going from a new moon all the way around, and it's gaining, and it's, as it's waxing, it's becoming full. And so what we're philosophy is, we become the fullest expression of yourself, just like the moon is coming that. So as we wax, our heart becomes more full as we find our way, as we find our journey. And I want to be the partner with you to do that. It's not me that's going to heal you. I would never consider myself a healer. You're your own healer. But it's really that wisdom of Ayurveda and that reflection that we can do together to try to find your path towards wellness.
Okay.
Yeah.
On that line then, for the listeners that don't really know what Ayurveda is, because it's just a big fancy word that we keep saying.
Yeah.
So tell me about the Ayurvedic principles. If we could start maybe there, and the services that you offer, we can get into that later. But what is it? You're talking about this philosophy, this lifestyle.
Okay. So first of all, I do want to say that, you know, Ayurveda is not a licensed medical practice in the United States. It's considered complementary and alternative. Mm-hmm. And so as such, we don't, you know, diagnose, mitigate, or, you know, treat known diseases.
Right.
But what we do is we look at the principles of Ayurveda. So we're talking about things like the doshas, which is someone's constitution, and we can, you know, define that in a little bit. Ayurveda is science of life. So it really is looking at life, the cycle of life, how the earth and the winds and the seasons influence, how food influences us, and how do we use those things that the world offers us to become well, and really to notice that kind of imbalance, if I can use that word, that we feel within ourselves, and how do we bring that back into balance. So I offer these wellness consultations. Body work from an Ayurvedic perspective would be Marma or Basti's. It's like, Basti means bladder, and it's just a medicated oil that we put in different parts of the body to try to let the body heal itself. I'm also a massage therapist and Reiki certified. So all those things involved, whatever the client really needs towards their goals, we can incorporate a lot of different things. And then I also believe what I consider myself to do, integrated wellness, because there's a time and a place for allopathic. There's chiropractors. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of people. I refer people to counselors. I refer people to even to go to the gym and have a personal trainer work with them. And so whatever that person needs, if it's not what I have to offer, there's a lot of other people here in the area that have things that will really help others. It's pretty amazing, the variety we have here.
And that collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
I agree that not one practitioner or provider or one path is always going to help.
Absolutely.
I do think that for people listening, that it's okay to look at food, look at nature, look at yourself, you know, reflect in order to get well.
A lot of things complement
one
another.
They do, not just a pill or a,
How would you say your approach blends ancient wisdom with modern day needs?
Yeah. So Ayurveda was considered to be remembered, and it was preserved in the subcontinent of India. So there's a lot of foods that were there that are traditional and that aren't really available here. And you do want to bring in what's available in your area. So we learn things in Sanskrit. Sutras are how things are passed. Sutras considered like a stitch or a small bit of knowledge. And that's passed down in that language through the generations. But that's not going to be very consumable here. So I do use more modern language and just try to help people understand this ancient knowledge in a very modern way. You know, we don't name diseases, but I'll try to explain what like a dosha is, or vata, pitta, kapha, or the three different doshas, what that means, and how do we use those ancient terms in more modern ways. So it's just a kind of converting, I think, more to consumable language is the best way, because the knowledge is ancient and it's been proven over time. And so we want to honor those traditions and really not alter them too much. But maybe the foods might be a little different for this location.
Yeah, absolutely. What kinds of clients or health concerns do you most commonly support in your practice?
Right. So This is a tough question to answer because the beauty of Ayurveda is to look at each person as a unique individual.
Yeah.
So to say we see these things most often, it really kind of takes that personal, you know, taste away. But we, you know, we see a lot of people with, like if someone were a little bit older, might be in menopause, we'll see people with that. There's a lot of digestive issues that go on. There's a lot of people who just have this feeling that something's not right. And that's usually when people come to me, is that I just don't feel right. I go to the doctor, they say everything's fine, but I don't feel good. And so that's probably, if I had to say, the more common approach is someone coming in because, you know, I'll tell them if they say, can you treat diabetes? And I'll say, well, I don't treat diabetes, but we look at things from an Ayurvedic perspective. And we'll see those things and try to get more to the root cause of what's going on instead of just treating a disease and some symptoms.
Mm-hmm. So the whole person is what you're looking at.
Absolutely.
But that is a great, because especially women, I think we have intuition and we know when things aren't right.
Yeah.
And even with other family members. So I like that you said that, you know, people come in and say something's just not right. Because I feel like you don't always have to pinpoint it.
Right.
You know, I just don't feel good, or I'm not sleeping good, but something's just not right.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. And we sometimes want to label things because I think it makes us feel good, but we might say, oh, I feel it like brain fog, but it actually could be the gut that's causing that. And so we really want to treat body, mind, and soul so that we look at that person as a unique individual and work to see what things bring a person back into their wellness goals.
Do you see more of that since COVID? You think, where people maybe have more vague complaints, or
no? I think it's been, you know, throughout time.
Okay.
You know, and you know, like in somewhere where Ayurveda is a recognized medicine, they go there for specific concerns. Here in the United States, it's more that like something other things haven't worked, so we're going to give this one a try, and that's what you kind of see. This I can't define it. Nobody can find it. What do we do here?
Okay, perfect. That's it. That was the first thing. Welcome back to Local Matters, Health Matters. I'm Dr. Jennifer Mabry.
And I'm Dr. Emily Lee. We're continuing our conversation with Maria O'Connell, Ayurvedic practitioner and owner of the Waxing Heart here in Cookeville, Tennessee. So, Maria, for those unfamiliar, can you tell us a little bit more about what is Ayurvedic medicine? You know, what is your definition of health?
Yeah, it's a great question. So, as I mentioned earlier, Ayurveda has been passed on with sutras, and they're usually spoken in Sanskrit. But there is one by a great sage called Sushrutas, and he has this Sushruta Samhita, is this book that he's written. And the sutra in there that defines health is, translated into English, is the one who is established in self, who has balanced doshas, balanced digestion, properly formed tissues, proper elimination of wastes, and properly functioning bodily processes, whose body, mind, and soul are quiet and content, is considered to have health. So you can see it's this whole body image. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes people will go to the doctor and they'll feel constipated and that they're still considered well. There's no defined disease. They don't have, you know, inflammatory colon problems or whatever. But according to Ayurveda, that's not a properly moving body function. And so if you're not eliminating your waste, those toxins are staying within the body, and we want to try to find that way to move them out. Quite often when we do talk about holding type processes, it's often an emotional thing. We're holding on to something that's happened in the past. We're holding on to a loss. There's something that's going on. And then the body starts to mirror those activities of the mind. So the mind is holding, the body starts to hold. And that's just an example of how Ayurveda looks at health and wellness. Also, ragas are diseases and emotions are diseases. So love is not an emotion. It's our natural state. It's the state that we are. And we're just covering that up with day-to-day activities. Sometimes we don't see that we have this beautiful joy and love inside of us. But things like greed, desire, anger, jealousy, hate, they spread through the body and they create anxiety, delusion, and restlessness. Mm-hmm. So it really talks about how do these emotions start to stop our body from feeling joy, and then it brings on dis-ease in the body, and that's where the wellness starts to go. So having your mind strong enough to digest those emotions, have them come in and let them go through, not to push them down,
right,
but to allow their journey to finish coming through us. Because as we know, our emotions are transient. They come and they go.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes we want to not feel them, and then we suppress them, and that's when it becomes more of a dis-ease state.
How do you feel these methods differ from conventional Western medicine?
Well, I think in some cases, and I'd imagine not all, that the mind and the body are separated, and certainly not even bringing a spiritual aspect into the conversation would be, I would say, the largest difference with that. I think there's more doctors understanding now the mind-body. You know, we hear a lot about mind-body health and wellness. That's becoming quite the buzzword.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that's been practiced. Well, Ayurveda is 10,000 years old. It's been something known for all this time, and it's great when we're starting to bring it into regular conversation, because there is such an influence on the body and the mind, and the body, you know, back to the mind. So
yeah, absolutely. Tell us, I know you've mentioned the doshas already, but can you explain the concept of the three doshas and why those matter?
Yeah, absolutely. So Ayurveda teaches us that everything is made of five elements: ether, air, fire, water, and earth. And then the doshas then are combinations of that. So vata would be ether and air, pitta is fire and water, kapha is water and earth. And each person has this mix of that, a blend that's unique to that person. And each of those doshas then have sub-doshas, and then they're really a collection of qualities. So if you think of ether and air, it's light, airy, breezy, rough, and those qualities would be in a person.
Mm-hmm.
And so pitta would be the heat, the oily, the transformation, you know, similar to like summertime, like now we're in the pitta season. So by having this tridoshic theory, it helps us kind of understand a person. And from an Ayurvedic perspective, you know, in English, we have to explain what this means. It's a long story, and you don't even get really to the depth of what those doshas mean. But when you understand and you've studied Ayurveda, you understand what that means to the person, and you can then share that. And then it's nice to then talk about the qualities, because then once you know the qualities of the doshas that are most predominant in you, then you can look for those rising. And when you feel like if you're pitta predominant, when you feel that heat rising in the middle of the day in the summer, you know that you might want to introduce some opposite qualities, some cooling qualities to the body. And so that's where you kind of learn to kind of read your own story and then apply opposite qualities to bring things back into balance. So that's where they're important to understand.
That's helpful. Yeah, makes sense.
I know, it does make sense.
It does.
To our minds.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what, you know, I come from a very logical background. And when
Mechanical engineering, yes.
Ayurveda, it made sense.
Yes.
It's almost like, I remember one of my colleagues said, Ayurveda, that's where you've been. Where have you been all my life? You know, it just makes sense. Like now I understand not only myself, but others, and there's so many things that you can glean out of this ancient information.
Yes, absolutely. I think, and you know, I want to go back to, you know, you were talking about the sutras, the small bits that were orally handed down. You know, historically in Appalachia, that's the way everything was handed down as well. Our folk medicine, our herbal medicines in this area, you know, my great-grandfather was a traveling herbal doctor, you know, back, not in this region, but in another part of Tennessee. And that's how things were passed down then. And it makes me wonder if that came from that similar background.
Yeah.
We're going to pass this down orally because people didn't write. People might, you know, I know people always think that Appalachians are uneducated. You know, that's a misnomer, I feel like, a lot of them. But I don't think we are. I think a lot of the information, especially for health and wellness and taking care of your family, was passed down through sutras.
Exactly. And so, you know, reading, you know, memorizing a long book would be difficult in paragraph form. But if you can put it in this, and then they're often kind of chanted in almost like a sing-songy way.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's easier to remember all those. There's people, there's gurus that just have read thousands of these, you know. And it's just you bring them up and you remember. And so similar to a lot of indigenous-type societies where they pass things on an oral tradition, they're not bringing it in books. And just because it's not in a book, it, you know, doesn't mean that you can't share it and learn it, you know, and pass it down. And it has to be consumable.
It does.
To remember.
It does.
Yeah.
And so, little pieces. Yeah.
And honestly, sometimes I think we get a little wordy, you know, nowadays. So it's, we got to fill up a giant book, you know, when it's so simple to write very clear, concise passages that people can remember easily.
And that's what we have to do in education. So the students know.
True.
Yeah. They can't take wordy either. Yeah. Nobody can. Right. Nobody can
learn
that.
Nobody can remember that. Yeah.
So moving, I mean, we've talked about the body, mind, and spirit. Mm-hmm. We briefly talked about seasonal changes. Mm-hmm. So let's expand on seasonal changes, diet, maybe daily routines that add to the Ayurvedic.
Okay. Yeah. So we touched on it a little bit. So each season would be kind of aligned around the same qualities that a dosha. So we're in the Pitta season. Everyone can feel the heat and the oiliness. You get into the fall, and we're going to go into like windy, cooler, crisper, and that's a Vata time. And then part of winter, and then we go into the Kapha time, which is the spring, where we've got a lot of, you know, there's a lot of moisture. And we go through that each stage of life. So children, anabolic, up to about 16, they're in the Kapha stage. Pitta is transformational. So as we're 16 to kind of 50, we're changing from children to adults, from singles to married, from individuals to parents. And so there's a lot of transformation going there through our career. That's the Pitta qualities in the middle. And then the later stage in life, more catabolic, is more of the Vata. So there's a phrase that's with the macrocosm is the microcosm. So you look to the outside and you can understand the self stuff that's going on in your own body. You know, nature is this really amazing teacher.
I think let's stop there then, and we'll go to the third segment.
Fantastic.
All right.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Local Matters, Health Matters. I'm Dr. Emily Lee.
And I'm Dr. Jennifer Mabry. Today we're speaking with Maria O'Connell about Ayurvedic medicine and its impact on personal and community wellness. Maria.
Yes.
What are some easy Ayurvedic habits or rituals that people could go ahead and start incorporating into their daily routine? Is that something we can share?
Yeah,
okay.
For sure. So one thing that we always want to look at is sleep. You know,
in
today's world, we often don't get enough. But if we can wake before the sun and maybe face the sun, if you actually look at animals, they actually wake up and they look at the sun when it comes up, you know. And so if we can wake up just before the sun comes up and really set our circadian rhythms, and start with, you know, some cool water that we wake up. It's the first thing into our body is clean, cool water.
Mm-hmm.
Wash our face, brush our teeth, scrape our tongue.
Mm-hmm.
Get some movement in your day. And that may be when you incorporate the sun. You know, I love to go out when the weather's nice and I do some yoga out in my backyard and I face the east. And it just feels wonderful. And I always feel better when I can start the day like that. And then eat something healthful. Try to eat on a regular schedule. Eat according to hunger. But try to make that at a regular schedule so you're not going too long before you eat, because then you've got all this need to digest your food, but there's nothing going in it. Same with eating too early or just as a response to a clock. So you want to eat with hunger and not wait too long. And then obviously sleep. So when 10 o'clock is when we'd like to get to sleep, because the liver starts to heal and a lot of the organs start to do their regeneration right about 10 o'clock. So if we can go to bed before 10, that time in the day is really nice time to rest, recharge our mind, and let the body heal itself.
That's a great advice. And what I was thinking of when you were talking about the liver, you know, you see a lot of things right now for artificial liver detoxing.
Mm-hmm.
And but Ayurveda is encouraging self-healing.
Absolutely.
And that would be a big difference.
Yeah. You know, we look for these different qualities and these doshas kind of in the body. So the liver, you know, enzyme, digestion, transformation, that's a Pitta organ.
Mm-hmm.
And so we look, if we see a lot of high Pitta in the person, we'll read people's faces, tongues and fingernails, and see what we see arriving in those areas that kind of let us know what's going on inside the body. But then we can use herbs, but I really like to use food first. So if we can use those cooling foods, allow the body to heal itself and use the natural rhythms, the body is so smart. It knows what to do. It knows what to heal itself. We sometimes just need to allow it to happen by slowing down and watching ourselves and observing ourselves.
That's so hard to do. Slowing down.
Absolutely.
Slowing down. Absolutely. So let's talk about food then. Mm-hmm. Are there specific foods that people could start eating to become more balanced? I know we've talked about eating what's local.
Mm-hmm.
What's in season.
Right.
I know those are kind of easy things to think about, but according to Ayurveda.
Yeah. So certainly, like you're saying, seasonal local foods, as clean as possible.
When you say clean, what do you mean?
Not preserved. So if I'm eating everything from a plastic bag that has a lot of preservatives in it, then that's not something my body can digest as well. So if you think about, what is a preservative?
What is it?
It's something that is preventing the decay of that food product. So it's more shelf stable. Wonderful idea. But when we put it into our body, we have to break it down.
Mm.
So if there's a lot of preservatives in it, it's overly refined, then it's really hard for the body to break it down and get that into the body. So sometimes we think, you know, we are what we eat, but we really are what we digest.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're struggling to digest something, the food is only going to be in the stomach for so long. And then it's going to move through. It only has that opportunity. So as fresh food that you can buy and cook for yourself,
mm-hmm.
and even like we talked about the season, so our digestion is going to be high in the summertime because it's hot and everything. So we can handle crunchy raw vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
We get into the fall and we want to keep eating those salads and those fruits that are available when our digestion's high. And then we slide into where more of Vata time, where we're dry and rough, and even the insides of our body follow those. And then we're going to put in a lot of dry, crunchy, raw things. Our body can't eat them as well. So that's where we want to really cook things. And even if you look like you're talking Appalachian traditions,
mm-hmm.
that's where people canned things.
Yes.
And they cooked things more. And the root vegetables and all that stuff. So if we follow some of these old local traditions,
mm-hmm.
they're very similar to what we're going to want to do from an Ayurvedic perspective. It's just logical. What is the earth providing to us? Because when we first started, we didn't have a grocery store. We didn't have refrigerators.
Right.
We had to eat what was available to
mm-hmm.
us. And we've gotten away from that where we want to eat strawberries in the winter.
Yes.
And yet our body may not be able to really consume that as well, or it's frozen or it's laden with preservatives and we just can't eat it. So the cleaner we can eat, the better we're going to be able to digest and produce quality tissues.
So that makes sense to me then. Clean eating would be the least processed, least amount of additives, as fresh, close to the farm as possible.
Absolutely.
And I know a lot of people around here grow their own vegetables,
using
less pesticides
mm-hmm.
with those and letting nature take care of itself and grow for us.
Right.
And it's usually, you know, things that I tell clients to patients that I see is, they'll say, well, how do I know what's in season? You know, because like you said, you go to the grocery store and everything's available all the time. I've got apples year round.
Right.
Well, apples are not supposed to be year round.
Mm-hmm.
I always tell people, look for what's the cheapest, what's on sale. Typically, that is what is in season, is most abundant, and then go by that.
And your farmer's markets.
We've got wonderful farmers markets here.
There's really an abundance of beautiful mm-hmm. opportunities to eat locally and fresh.
Yes.
And, you know, even like families, like with my kids were little, we went to the store, picked seeds, and I said, whatever you grow, I want you to try.
Yeah.
And it was so exciting to see them, their faces. They loved it. And they all love vegetables. My kids are all grown, but they each love vegetables. And it's funny because like my second son, carrots was something he wanted to pick. He still loves carrots. But to see his face light up when he'd pull that carrot out of the ground and all you saw was the green top.
Yeah,
fascinating. You know, I got some potatoes out of my garden just the other day and I was so excited. Just like a kid. It's so fun. But that's something you can do with your family.
Yep.
And then the kids learn to kind of enjoy that. It's not.
We went and picked blueberries last week. Yeah. And her, Emily's family has some blueberry bushes that are beautiful this year.
They're delicious.
And we went and picked blueberries.
Yeah.
So,
I picked blackberries and made six jars of jam.
Mm.
It's wonderful. They just grow wild in my backyard. And
love it.
I can tell we got some more
that
today
didn't,
this
And that
morning.
Didn't happen in Houston.
It did not.
Or Michigan.
Well, Michigan, they're
cherries.
Yeah.
I think it's cherries.
Cherries are great, but blackberries are there and stuff. But I had big gardens in Michigan, Houston. I just, with the heat and everything, it just didn't, in the clay soil, it didn't want to grow.
No wonder you love Cookeville.
Yes, I love Cookeville.
I love it.
So continuing along our wellness, how does stress affect our health from an Ayurvedic perspective?
Mm. Yeah. So Ayurveda believes that all emotions, not just like stress, stays as kapha molecules in the muscles. And so stress is a great example that I think a lot of people can identify with. People say, I'm under stress. They know their shoulders are up and they're tight muscles and they can just feel it. Mm-hmm. That's an emotion getting kind of locked in the body. So stress actually starts to create dis-ease, because if we're upset and we're feeling stressed, we're not going to digest well. So as you know, we've got our autonomic nervous system, mm-hmm, it's sympathetic mm-hmm. nervous system yeah. and parasympathetic.
Absolutely.
So yes. A lot of people take medicine to turn off their sympathetic nervous system, the fight and flight, mm-hmm. which a lot of people, it's stuck on. It really is a problem. But what we want to do is turn on the parasympathetic nervous system, the rest and digest. Mm-hmm. So how do we do that? And that's where a lot of yoga practices, Ayurveda believes in pranayama, which are breath work. Mm-hmm. And so you can do just a full yogic breath where you're breathing through your belly, slowing the breath down, counting to maybe 8 as you inhale and exhale to 8. And you can start to allow, again, the body the opportunity to heal by having to allow the parasympathetic system to come online. Yeah.
I like that. Come online.
Come online.
Yeah. So I think we've talked a lot about households and how we can incorporate more mindfulness and principles into our daily life. So let's talk just briefly as we close up about some myth versus truth. This is Jennifer's favorite.
It is my favorite. Yeah.
Section.
I do.
So let's clarify a few things. So first, Ayurveda is just about food and herbs.
Yeah.
Myth or truth?
Well, I'd say it's a little bit of both.
Okay.
You know, so it's not just that, where that would be the myth. But yes, herbs are a large part, and herbs can be food that you get. I can create an herbal formula for people, which is different than a supplement. It really, a supplement is something your body's missing. An herbal formula is, what I try to say is, it's kind of reminding the body what well feels like. It's working towards wellness, and sometimes flushing things out of the body so that the body can function as it's intended to. Mm-hmm. And then food, we've talked a lot about food. Mm-hmm. You know, food is a poison or a medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is a really huge part of it. But it really is about more. It's that spiritual aspect, that really whole person look. So it's not just that, but it certainly is a large portion of it.
Yeah. And I think that's good for the listeners to hear that it's not just about, you know, food or herbs. And I like how you've separated supplements and herbs.
Yeah.
Supplement something you're lacking. Mm-hmm. That's a good, I like that. So another thing that people say is, if I feel fine, I don't need any kind of wellness support. What's your perspective on that?
Well, first of all, I do have people say, oh, my sister or my mom or whoever should come to see you mm-hmm. because they've gotten a lot of support. You have to be ready to hear.
Yes.
And so there's a phrase, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. And so if you're not ready to heal, and if you're not ready to take that journey, then it won't work. Mm-hmm. And, you know, where you're feeling fine and you're telling yourself everything's fine because that's what makes you comfortable, because you may not be able to deal with not being fine right now. So until you're ready, you don't have to. But I do have people that come in that say, you know, I'm just feeling a little bit off. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is, but can we look at this? And there's not any known disease. And then when we go through and we look through, because we do an extensive intake, and then we talk for about an hour and a half at the first thing, and we do find things that would feel more supportive to somebody, and they're aware. Because honestly, sometimes we think we're fine because something has been somewhat broken for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And until we shine a light on it, we don't actually even notice it.
Yeah.
And then that awareness is the very first part of healing. Mm-hmm. Our ability to see, our willingness to see, and maybe change some aspects of ourselves, not because they're bad, but because it's just something we're ready to find a new path or follow our journey in a different way.
So if someone is wanting to follow that new path, mm-hmm. or they feel like something's just not right, how can they get in touch with you, Maria?
Oh, yeah. So I do have a website, thewaxingheart.com.
Okay.
And you can look at that. My email is thewaxingheart@gmail.com. So if you want to just reach out to me and see if this is a match, you know, so before any consultation, I always have a little chat with people to make sure it's a match. And then we go from there. So, yeah, I'd love to, if I can be of help to anybody, that would be wonderful. But there's, like we talked about earlier, there's a lot of people and things in the Upper Cumberland to help people out. And I just hope that everybody as well.
Thank you so much, Maria.